What is a cradle of civilization? A simple question. But history will show us it has a more complex answer. Welcome to the Burning Archives, Summer of Civilizations. I am Jeff Rich, and this is the Burning Archive podcast where I help you see the world more clearly with some quality world history. And there are all sorts of reasons in 2024 to want to explore all of world history's civilizations. And I am going to guide you on that journey through this special summer season of the podcast of 12 or a few more episodes. With today's episode focusing on the idea of the cradles of civilization. Where exactly were they? I'm coming up to 3 years of this podcast, and I thought this summer there were some really good reasons to return to the theme of the many diverse civilizations of what some people call the multipolar world. We've seen a lot of talk in recent years about the fate of Western civilization hanging in the balance. We've seen the leader of China, Xi Jinping, announcing a global civilizations initiative. We've seen Russia declare itself a civilization state in its foreign policy, and India celebrate the civilizational achievements of Bharat. We've also heard many tropes, good and bad, of civilization as opposed to barbarism or something else. And there is also just a lot of curiosity about what is a multipolar world really like? What does it really mean to live in a world where there's more equal relationships and more equanimity between not just the powers of Western civilization, but all the other civilizations of the world as well? So I'm reaching back to some earlier podcasts I did in 2022 that look at the history of civilizations. One of the problems with looking at the history of civilizations is so much has been written about them. But fortunately, I knew of a guide in the form of one great book, one great history book, written by the historian Felipe Fernandez Amesto, who I had the pleasure and the privilege to interview late last year on the podcast. One book, Civilizations, that can offer you a creative, accessible, imaginative, and in many ways quite delightful, generous world tour of the history of the world's civilizations. His book, Civilizations, has that theme, and it's very important that he expresses it in the plural. There are more than one way to skin a cat, and there is more than one way to lead a civilized life. And if you'd like to explore the history of civilizations more, and also to go on the journey through the history of the world's civilizations, that enormous journey in an achievable, simple, compressed form by reading through a single book with me and discussing it more, I'm going to be offering a very special program starting in February where I take you through the ideas, the concepts, and the history of the civilization, the history of civilization as articulated through Felipe Fernandez Amesto's book. And I'll give you a little bit more information about that new special program, but you can join up now. It's going to be starting in February, but you can sign up now or join a mailing list by going to courses, courses.com Jeff Rich Writer, all one word, JeffRichWriter.com. And I'll add a little bit more details about that now. But why don't you sit back and relax, maybe enter that URL into your website now. And listen now to my account from 2022 of not one cradle, but three different environments, all of which have fostered, nurtured, been the wellspring for quite different civilizations and their adaptations of the environment. Let's talk a little bit about these actual cradles of civilization and what we know about them today. So the well-known cradles of civilization are the Fertile Crescent in Southwest Asia, or which, you know, Mesopotamia was one of those regions that Isaac talked about, but also the big river valleys of eastern China around the Yellow River and the Yangtze River. And I'm going to also talk about one other cradle of civilization, you could say, which is the Eurasian Steppe, the great Pontic-Caspian Eurasian Steppe. And I'm just going to talk very briefly about these and talk in the next episode about the broader, the many different environmental cradles of civilization that there have been all around the world. But looking at these three, I'm going to use a book for a bit of variety other than Felipe Fernandez Amesto, which is Barry Cunliffe's By Steppe, Desert and Ocean, The Birth of Eurasia from 2015. And it's a wonderful book. Cunliffe is an archaeologist, and he grounds the remarkable story of the emergence of many, many different cultures across Eurasia in the complex interaction of culture, environment and geography, and how the communication between civilizations was both enabled and constrained by environment, geography, and indeed climate change in different periods. And it's how that story of the nexus of human society with environment, geography, and climate was so fundamental to these cradles of civilization. So first of all, let's talk about the Fertile Crescent of Southwest Asia. Now, in Barry Cunliffe's book, there is a wonderful map where he takes like a map of Europe from Europe and the Mediterranean and Northern Africa through to sort of a bit beyond the Iranian plateau in West Asia and twists it about, 45 degrees or something like that, so that the straits of, if you can imagine the straits of Gibraltar between Spain and North Africa are around about 10 and 11 o'clock, and there's almost like a straight line going up between the sort of Red Sea up to the through the Mediterranean to those straits of Gibraltar. And right in the centre there, in the sort of region of Israel, Lebanon, Syria, to eastern Turkey, then bending round into what would today, I guess, be Iraq or Iran, into the traditional area of the Mesopotamian along the big river valleys of the Tigris and the Euphrates. That arc is known as the Fertile Crescent. And what Cunliffe points out about this is there are kind of three big spokes running off this Fertile Crescent. One goes up into the European Peninsula, And then there's the Nile Valley, which stretches out to west and the south. And then to the east, you have the Iranian Plateau. So not only was this fertile crescent of Southwest Asia, which he calls the Southwest Asian Core Zone, fertile with many, many different little niche, little ecological niches, lots of little microenvironments of mountains and lakes and all this sort of thing. It had this close connection to these big spokes of Europe, Iran, or the Iranian Plateau and the Nile Valley, along which the developments of civilization would spread. And indeed, the core of Southwest Asian core itself became something of a battlefield between different cultures. And so the process of the emergence of the cradles of civilization that Cunliffe describes broadly goes like this. So until about 10,000 BC, Eurasia was occupied by hunter-gatherer communities with various subsistence strategies geared to their particular ecological niches. And they would all adapt to different patterns of climate and population growth. But there were a couple of particularly well-favoured environments in what he describes as the hilly flanks of the Fertile Crescent and the valleys of the Yellow River and the Yangtze that were able to give stability to their food-gathering pursuits by bringing selected grasses into cultivation and by domesticating some of the animals that they had previously hunted. And once these were in place, a more sedentary life in towns with agriculture and storage of food in pottery began to emerge. And indeed, large surpluses of food were generated and stored, and state systems or civilizations resulted in Mesopotamia, the valleys of the Nile, the Amu Darya Oxus, and the Indus, as well as China, but we'll get to China later. And all those zones that I mentioned are sort of flow out from that Fertile Crescent. They're all these big spokes where the civilization got communicated along the way. What he describes as the agricultural package in these peculiarly well-endowed zones began in the hilly flanks of the Fertile Crescent, spread to Egypt and Europe, and across the Iranian Plateau to Amu Darya and the Indus Valleys. But in the Southwest Asia zone, there was a constant problem of overproduction, driving population growth, driving environmental degradation. So there you go, environmental degradation seems to be as old as civilization itself. And this encouraged communities to move away from their homelands in search of new territories. It might have been small, but it began and it helped spread the process of agriculture. And in some of those zones, the environment was a little bit more, less fragile, I guess, for the environmental impacts. And there's a slightly different story in China. And so that process, I guess, is going over from about 10,000 BC to 4,000, 3,000 BC. And that is really the growth of the birth of the range of civilizations that one's familiar with: Egyptian, Indian, Iranian, European, you know, I guess Arabic, the core Southwest Asian civilizations, all born out of that Fertile Crescent and the spread of certain technologies and social practices in that cradle of civilization. The situation in China was a bit different. These huge river valleys with Yellow River and Yangtze and different kind of products, rice and millet. And these river catchments of the Yellow River and the Yangtze were peculiarly rich and varied, so that they could actually sustain a growing population in a way that the more fragile niche environments of the Fertile Crescent could not. The nature of the soils there in those valleys was less easily degraded and highly, highly fertile. And the irrigated rice fields were frequently flooded, which also supported their fertility. So as a result, the population grew steadily without crisis. And there were features of the geography, the great mountains rising into Inner Mongolia and, the sort of Tibetan plateau, which provided natural barriers to outward expansion. To the north and west lay mountains interspersed with deserts and steppe, while to the south the lightly wooded landscapes quickly gave way to tropical jungle into which agricultural practices were slow to spread. And so China became a more contained world. But still, these two agricultural zones by 4000 BC had both become the home of, I guess, multiple and complex civilizations. And there was one big corridor between these two zones. That corridor was the Eurasian Steppe, sometimes known. Also, there's the Pontic-Caspian Steppe, and also, forgotten what the more eastern one is called, but anyhow. So the steppe basically runs from Hungary, modern-day Hungary, the Great Hungarian Plain, through Ukraine, Russia, Kazakhstan, Mongolia, into China. It's an enormous, enormous thing. Cunliffe describes the steppe as the greatest natural corridor of the world, and it carried many civilizational developments familiar to players of the game civilization, like nomadic pastoralism, horse riding, animal husbandry, copper working. Many of these likely emerged for the first time on the steppe. And the steppe also connected the emerging city-states of Mesopotamia with the resources of the steppe and ultimately with the Chinese world, if less securely. And there are multiple cultures that emerge in this area. So Cunliffe describes how three regions, the Near East, or like the Caucasus sort of area, Eastern Europe, like the Balkans, Bulgaria, Western Ukraine, Moldavia, and the Pontic-Caspian Steppe, these three conjoined regions were fundamental to a huge range of human inventiveness over the period between 5000 and 2500 BC. In the Near East and in Lower Mesopotamia, exponential growth in population led to the development of a complex urban-based society complete with monumental architecture and systems of writing and measurement. This is, kind of Babylonia, Sumeria, Uruk. In Eastern Europe, in the Carpathians and the Balkans, copper was produced and cast on an industrial scale. Gold was extracted for the first time, and potters made vessels of exquisite quality. While on the Pontic-Caspian Steppe, herders domesticated the horse and learned to ride. They developed the ox-drawn cart and may have even invented it, and bred long wool sheep, providing wool for manufacture into cloth. They all had different bases for food production, like agriculture, irrigation agriculture, dry agriculture, or pastoralism, but they all made a unique contribution. And ultimately, it was also along this huge, huge corridor that the cradle of civilization in the West and the cradle of civilization in the East would ultimately, including in the form of the horse, learn from each other and communicate and connect with each other. So that is a little account then of the cradles of civilization and also the concept of civilization. Just in closing, I'd say that civilization as a game certainly opens out a window onto history and one of the biggest and most entrancing ideas in history, civilization. We do not need to overstate the errors of thinking about civilizations in the past. We don't need to think about people as barbarians or primitive. But we can be generous in thinking about the idea of a cradle of civilization. If we disconnect it from the idea of progress, and if we disconnect it and connect it to an idea of a complex process of adaptation of the environment, what Fernandez Ernesto calls the itch to civilize, the human itch to adapt nature to their own needs, then we can see many fascinating cradles of civilization across the world. With the help of modern archaeology, deep history or prehistory, we can connect with a more plural, diverse and global history of many civilizations across the world. There is no one cradle of civilization. There are many, many cradles of civilization. And all civilizations are born, mature, and evolved. So I hope you enjoyed that overview of three different cradles of civilization, three different starting points, perhaps, is a better way of putting it, for civilization: the Fertile Crescent of West Asia, East Asian river valleys, and the Great Eurasian Steppe. And thanks so much to Felipe Fernandez Ernesto for his great book, Civilizations, and to Barry Cunliffe's brilliant work on, the peoples of the Americas and the Eurasian Steppe. But as I said at the start of the show, I'm also setting up a special program. I'm starting off with a guide to the history of civilizations by reading just one book, Felipe Fernandez Ernesto. If you do this program with me, you'll be better informed about the history and the diversity and the curious, imaginative experiences of humans all around the world in terms of achieving civilizational achievements. So if you'd like to do that, you can sign up to either a mailing list or even purchase early access to the program now, by going to courses, that's courses.jeffrichwriter, jeffrichwriter.com, and you'll get all the information there. I'd love to see you. The program I'm intending will have a mix of learning materials, but it will focus on simplifying a way into the best quality world history for people who are curious, whether you're curious about geopolitics or you're curious about traveling the world or you're just curious about connecting the dots between all the things that you've learnt about the incredibly amazing diverse world that we live in and how it's changing, then this will be a great program for you, and I think it will help take you through to a deeper insight to help see the world more clearly, more compassionately, and I think more creatively, with the benefit of some really quality world history, and I think have a bit of fun and a bit of a laugh and a bit of companionship along the way, because reading some of those long history books can be a bit of a task, and it's a lot easier if you're not doing it all by yourself. So do check that out, courses.jeffrichwriter.com, and I'm really looking forward to you joining me on the journey. I hope I see you there soon, and we could perhaps even have a bit of a conversation about what would work for you. Next time in the podcast, I will be looking at two different environments, the deserts of ice and tundra and the Great Eurasian Steppe, and looking at two specific civilizations featured in Felipe Fernandez Armesto's book, Civilizations. Until then, everyone, please take care, and remember, what thou lovest well will not be reft from thee.